off-season of chaos and speculation, we are back for Donington Park opening round.
Hello and welcome back to the 2024 season. We are back once again with our podcast. Yeah. If you haven't already, give us a like, drop us a follow, and
And if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe because it really helps us out. Right, so it's Donington Park this weekend. We are going for the opening round, which was very good. You know it's a British Touring Car weekend because the weather is going to be absolutely hideous. So if anybody else is going...
I've been looking at stuff to cover up my camera gear for this weekend because I have a feeling we're going to get wet.
Yeah, take a coat and a spare pair of clothes for the car is my suggestion to you. But we're at Donington Park. It is the opening round of the weekend. Donington is a very, very exciting circuit, generally speaking. It's got a lot of history to it. And to take you through, eight corners, just under 2 miles with 1.98. BTC race debut in...
1968.
77.
Oh.
Could have been more wrong. Qualifying lap record.
A 1 minute 28. I can't remember.
I didn't want an exact
record. Sorry.
I meant the person who did it. I was expecting to blow it down to the millisecond.
Was it Road Bottom last year?
No.
Okay.
It was Ash Sutton 1 minute 7, so...
I was thinking long circuit. There we go.
Hopefully. Again, it's been a long winter, folks. Right, and the race lap record...
Ingram.
No.
Sutton.
No. Jake Hill in 2022.
Oh, okay.
Great start to the pod. It's a really exciting circuit, starting off obviously on the start line before going through Redgate, down Hollywood, through the Craning Curves, then round the old hairpin. A nice long drag up to McLean's, which is up the hill, round Coppice, down the Dunlop Straight, even though it's not the Dunlop Straight because they took away the Dunlop tyre, through the Fogarty S's and back down the start finish line. It's a quick lap, not 1 minute 58 as you thought it might
28.
Be.
28.
Yeah.
Might be for Halstead.
Why?
It started already.
Why? It's a quick lap. Expect to see a lot of action. If you are going this weekend, the first corner is always good for action, as are the Craning Curves and the old hairpin. You can view the circuit pretty much all the way around. If you've not been before, it is pretty much 360 viewing. You can pretty much go anywhere, which is really good.
Yeah, it's obviously we were there for media day, so the cars have had plenty of running there this season. So I'm expecting not too many niggles or gremlins for cars getting used to being into this new season, apart from maybe one or two. We'll get onto those a little bit later. But there are limited expectations, I think. We've had an off and on off season, as it were. There have been big announcements. There have been, obviously, the reduction in the number of cars on the grid this year, which could affect the racing, but it could be positive, it could be negative. We're yet to find out, but hopefully we will this weekend.
Just time of recording, there's a 60% rain chance on Sunday, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, last year we had a very wet, dry session with Lewis Hamilton in attendance.
Yes,
to see his brother Nick get sixth, from memory.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes this weekend, if there are more mixed weather conditions. Would you want to run us through the timings for the weekend's action?
So qualifying on Saturday is at 25 past three, as long as everything runs to schedule.
Which, that's on YouTube.
That is on YouTube, yeah. And then the...
Like us.
The race is on Sunday. First race is at 11:30. Race 2 is at 2:35. And race 3 is at 5:25. Now, there is a support race after race 3, which will hopefully make it a little bit easier to get out from. And don't forget that all races this year will be live on TikTok, as we are.
As we are. There you go. We're trailblazers. It's also worth mentioning there's some really exciting drivers in the support packages. We haven't forgotten we're bringing a pod to do with support packaging. That will probably be after the first round now because we're still waiting for the final entry lists to be collated. But of course, in Porsche, a couple of names will spring to mind. Abby Eaton, anybody who watches the Grand Tour will recognise her as the in-house racing driver for them. Dan Lloyd, Stephen Jelly, Ollie Jackson, Jack Butel, all touring car names that are in there. There's also Abby Pulling in the F4, who is tearing up the world of Formula 1 at the moment as well, which is really exciting to see her in F4.
Also this weekend, we have the Radicals joining us, as we do the Legends, who were a lot of fun last year.
Massive.
And I think those going around Donington should be a lot of fun, especially if we have a little sprinkling of rain just before it starts.
On those silly wheels that they race on. So we look forward to that. To say there's a big support package this weekend, as there will be for every race this year. And as I say, we will bring a proper support deep dive in the future.
Shall we have a little look back to last year, first of all, then? We obviously had mixed conditions during one of the races last year, which pulled up a very random result. But running through the winners and losers, I suppose, from last season, Dan Camish took two wins in race one and race three. Tom Chilton took the race win in race two, which was that rain-affected race where the whole grid got mixed up. And when we were there, we had no idea who was in the lead or anything. No,
Tom Chilton channeled his inner tyre spirits for that one. And yes, I think he started on wets or came in on the opening lap on wet city. I can't remember which way around it was now.
So Jake Hill took a second and Ingram a third in race one. Adam Morgan was second in race two, along with Osborne in race three. He inherited that, which is why he is still in the Jack Sears Trophy for this season.
Yeah, that's a bizarre rule change.
It is.
Yeah, one that caught us out. So apologies to anybody that's listened to the season preview and rightly pointed out that we got that wrong. It's been a very quietly publicised rule change and an odd one, which I don't fully agree with.
But I think it's so Napa can win everything this year.
Well, they can't win the independents.
No, I suppose. But everything that they can win, they might well win.
It does feel a little bit of a cop-out that they've changed that rule this season, but yeah, it is what it is.
And then race three last season, we had Ingram in second and Sutton in third. Turkington had a poor opening round last season, scored a 12th, an 8th and a 5th. Are we going to see the same from BMW this year?
It's really hard to know. And I was thinking about this when I was trying to put my predictions together for the pod this weekend, is that a lot has changed in the off-season. Obviously, the grid has shrunk, which potentially means less chance of getting caught up in an accident. If you mess up race one, you only got to get through 20 cars rather than 27 now.
Yeah, yeah.
That is quite a reduction in cars to come through the field with. I think that you can possibly get away with dropping one this year in the way you couldn't last year. Obviously, we saw Turkington, I think it's Silverstone, get down the wrong end of the pack and get spun round in that part of the action. As I say, this year, you fail race one, you start 20th, you've only got to make up 5 places and you're in the points. Yeah. That's quite a little gap.
Yeah, and some of those cars at the back, we're expecting De Leon possibly to not even race this weekend. He may well be at the circuit, but having only completed an installation lap in media day, his budget is so tight this season by the look of it. And whether everything is going to be set up and working ready for the first round, it may be a case of we only see 19 cars start.
In an era of busy liveries, it is concerning how empty his car is at this stage. Talking of grids, obviously BMW have announced they will not be running the fourth car this weekend. They're hopeful they'll get it on the grid for the rest of the season. That's not looking good, though, is it?
No. At least there were mentions of BMW possibly running a split season between two drivers. It looks as if they're possibly trying to push towards one. And if they miss the first round or the first two rounds, it would be good to see them at least do 7 or 8 rounds of the season. I know it's not ideal, but if someone like Bobby gets that chance in the car, having done a test for them, then it could be all that he needs to bring in those promotions that he needs to get the rest of the budget for a full crack at it next year.
Absolutely. Going back to looking at who we expect to be the big movers this year, again, I don't think you can look past your Sutton, Ingram and Hill. I think they'll be at the front. I think it's a really massive year for Camish. He's really got to start clicking that machinery soon.
As long as Donington doesn't seem to bite him in the bottom, which it has done for the last two seasons, I think he's going to have more of a chance this year. However, saying that, I think the grids are going to be a lot closer this year as well.
Yeah, I think so.
So it could be a case of if you're a tenth or two off in qualifying, it could be the difference between 5-7 positions.
I love asking you questions on the spot.
Go on, I'm ready.
Because they've got a reduced grid, should you reduce the points paying places? Say that 3 times fast. At the minute, obviously, it's top 15 get points, which means that theoretically only 5 cars miss out on points, which to me seems too... doesn't seem right.
I'm going to go off topic and then come back to it, if that's all right.
Through the gravel trap.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So at the moment, there is a meeting upcoming in the next week or two, I think, with F1 discussing about using points down to 12th place.
Yes.
I've seen different quotes from different people, one of which today was Martin Brundle going, you're in the top echelon of motorsport. You're looking to fight for the best points that you can get. And I kind of get why he says that. And this is almost the pinnacle of saloon car racing, certainly in the UK. And maybe we need to reduce them maybe down to 12 or down to 10 to make those points that you fight for more worth it in the end.
See, I think...
Would you go the other way?
Without making this P1 with Sam and Russell, in terms of Formula 1, it's not really the team's fault there's such a massive gap between all the cars. No, therefore, I'm not against in F1 taking it to 12 because realistically, Williams are not getting into the top 8 any other way. They're not going to score points any other way, which means you lose sponsors and you lose money and you've not got a chance to compete really in the sport.
But those weekends where you have some random results...
Yeah, but they don't happen enough in F1. They don't happen enough. In touring cars, it's different because the field is a lot closer.
Yeah.
There's no team in the touring cars, really, who are that far off the pace. You can say what you want about Team Hard, but Thompson was taking podiums, Kreese was scoring points, Lloyd was scoring points.
Yeah.
There is no team in the touring cars, historically, that have been that far off the pace that have got absolutely no chance of scoring points. Kix Albert have got absolutely no chance of scoring points in F1 unless something happens. And you could say, well, the team needs to try harder. I get that. I can understand that. But also, in F1, there's been such a gap now between the top 5-6 teams and the bottom 4 teams, but doing the last my head, that is almost insurmountable. When I know they've put the cost cap in, but it's going to take so long for those teams to catch up because they've been underfunded for so long. It's not quite the same in touring cars. And given that the grid is now smaller, I think they should drop the points down to 10, personally. That's my feeling. It's always roughly been half the grid gets points, half the grid doesn't get points. 10, 12, I think, is plenty.
I'm going to turn it back on you now. Please, you're on the spot.
Please do.
With the reverse grid that we see, do we need to make that number smaller now rather than having the possibility of more than half the grid being reversed? Or would you like to see that more than half the grid being reversed still?
My racing head, which wants to sort of go, the best racer should always win the race, says, yes, you should you should reduce the grid.
Yeah.
Size for reverse grid racing. Oh my gosh, I like watching touring cars. Head goes, reverse the whole lot. I want to see Nick Outed on pole and see what he can do.
Yeah.
I think they probably should reduce it from 12 down to 8, I think.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Because there were talks about possibly pushing it out to 15, weren't there?
Yeah, but the grid's too small. The grid's pointless.
Got smaller.
It's pointless. I think if you've got this grid of 20, the top 12 at max should pay points.
Yeah.
And top 8 should be reversed. Otherwise, what are you rewarding?
Okay.
I'm also questioning whether you should even have a reverse grid if there's only 20 cars on the grid.
Question of the race weekend format we've spoken about many times before. We've done a 10 minutes with on it. If you haven't seen that, go and find it on YouTube.
With a bigger grid, I'm happier with reversing grids. In a smaller grid, I don't like it as much. Maybe we'll come back to that throughout the season as we go on. Talking of how things have changed, obviously the qualifying structure has changed for this year. If you haven't up to date with this, then you can either read it in our booklet, which will be coming out shortly, or go and watch or listen to our season preview. We won't re-go over it here because it's too complicated.
I've done a nice little flow chart diagram for everyone to work out what's happening. On the season preview. So hopefully you will read that, understand it whilst we explain it.
On the video?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's a reason to go watch the YouTube. There you go. If you didn't need any other reason to watch the YouTube, there it is. I think we should probably get into some predictions for the weekend then.
Yep.
It's too hard at this stage to go who do you think is going to do well because we
pick a name out of the air with pre-season testing. With F1 testing, you know kind of where teams are going to be.
Yeah.
With Media Day and tests at Croft and at Brands, people are all over the place with the amount of tyres that they've used, what fuel loads they've used, set up and stuff like that. So really, the first one of the season is always the most difficult.
So, with that in mind, who's getting pole this weekend?
It has to be reigning champion Ash Sutton, doesn't it?
I think he's going to really struggle with the new qualifying format because only because he's a driver that pushes to the edge.
Okay.
If he gets a lap time deleted, hasn't got time to put another lap together, he could find himself going out in a Q1 or Q2.
You say that, but over previous, certainly the last 2 or 3 seasons, we've seen how he's reined it back in and been able to put in one banker lap
however,
to get him through and then put in a really fast one.
I'm going to shout you down here. What circuit was it last year the robot was told he had to back off because something was going to get knocked out otherwise?
Silverstone.
So it can happen.
It can happen. It can happen, certainly.
It
all depends on the other cars and the other drivers that are on track and what times they're setting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We did see Napa struggle. That was the only circuit they didn't take pole at last season.
Yeah, they did struggle at Silverstone, you're right.
So,
but I just wonder if Sutton's style will cost him, particularly as he gets used to the new format.
Yeah, Possibly.
And with that in mind, I've gone for a driver that rarely makes mistakes and rarely gets track limits because he's normally dialed in. I've gone for Tom Ingram on the basis that who on the grid do I trust the most to put together the lap cleanly to get through each session? And that's Tom Ingram.
Yeah, it's him or Turkington in that sense. Hill is always a little bit
Sutton-esque.
So it'll be interesting to see that. Wins then?
Yeah, I'll put all three of mine out on the table. Sutton will get a win, I think. I think that's inevitable.
Yeah.
I think Jake Hill will get a win. He is good round here.
Yeah.
I think he wants to set a really high bar for himself this year.
Definitely.
Push all the way. Yeah. And I think Rob Huff will get a win. The Toyota goes well round here. I can see race three, maybe. I'm not suggesting he will necessarily get pole and take a race one win, but I think if he can keep himself in the mix of the first two,
there or thereabouts,
reverse grid out of the bag, that Toyota goes well here. And Huff is absolutely chomping at the bit to get involved in this championship.
All of his media releases leading up to the season, he really is angling for that title this year.
And in fairness,
wants to tick that last box.
I'm looking at your ones now.
Yes.
Yeah. We semi-agree.
Yeah. So Sutton, I agree. He's probably going to take a win this weekend. Where it will be, we don't know. Rowbottom is a little left field one, but he was on pole last year.
That's bold.
That's the only feeling that I've got on that one. And then Watson for a race three. I think he'll be there or thereabouts, bottom end of the top 10. Nice reverse grid. And I think he's got the confidence in the car and in himself to go off and take that win if he gets near the front.
So we both expect the Toyota to go pretty well this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, cool. So Jack Sears, that's quite easy. it's Pearson for both of us.
Yeah, he got so many laps in on media day, didn't he?
He looked on it, didn't he?
And he was quick, He was really committed, certainly when we were watching coming through the Fogarty S's. Coming out of there, he was dropping a wheel on the dirt on the outside with how much he was pushing.
Absolutely. There's just nobody else in the Jack Sears. I really think we'll hold a candle to them this year. I really don't. And I include Osborne in that, who's now back in it for reasons.
Dog will beat Pearson last season in the Jack Sears. It's something that he's going to be looking towards.
At the risk of upsetting Adam Weaver and getting name dropped on the next series, I'm on the limit. I'm really worried about the PMR this year.
Are you?
They've gone down to back to a two-car team.
It might still
not upgraded to that car, albeit it looked good last year, but there is a shelf life to these cars. I know we've said all this before. I know we have.
And what did he say in On the Limit? I will prove people wrong.
And I hope he does, but last year they made such a step forward with Dobble and Watson and the facelift to the car, and Taylor Swift really got underneath it. They looked really good, particularly in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
This year they've lost a data car. Mm. They've lost a top driver.
Yes.
And that's no disrespect to Aaron Taylor Smith or Dobble. They're both very good drivers, but they've lost a top driver who, without getting too ahead of ourselves, could well be a future champion.
Yeah.
He's certainly quick and skilled.
If he wants to be,
He's certainly quick and skilled. I don't know. I just worry a little bit for them. I'm just a little bit worried.
I think this weekend will be a litmus test for them because they normally go well at Boston.
They do.
So if they're going to go well, they'll go well this weekend, and it could set them up quite nicely for the season.
Yeah, fair point. But I still don't think anyone touches Pearson this year, period, in the Jack Sears.
We'll move on to our general predictions. We give you three general predictions for the weekend, as well as a random one that we like to make up for each weekend, making it a bit different and
which we compete directly on.
So, first of all, my first one.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Toyota Gazoo Racing boys, I think, are going to score 30 or more points this weekend combined.
Okay.
Yeah, that's doable. I don't think it's too out there. As we both said, we think they're going to do quite strong. And I think that 15, is achievable.
And with 15 paying points places, then absolutely. I think Sumpton will get points this weekend.
Okay.
Quite bold, but do you know what? It's quite a good, in my mind at least, debutants getting points. Last year it seemed that every time someone new to the championship came, they got a point.
Yeah.
So, and again, with the 15, can he beat five cars? Yes.
If we get a wet race as well, anything can happen. He could be one of the first to gamble and go on to wets.
And there's always a retirement in the touring car, so that's one place.
Yeah.
So even if he qualifies 20, that's one place. And do I trust him to get another four at some point this weekend? Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, fair enough. On the PMR train, I'm going to go for Aaron Taylor-Smith to get 3 points finishes this weekend. As we've said already, it is much easier to score points this year in the championship. So I think 3 secure points finishes for him this weekend.
I'm going for a Cook podium, fairly straightforward. Josh Cook likes podiums. He's not happy for a while.
It'd be a nice way to kick the season off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And if he wants to challenge this year, he's got to start strong.
Yeah. I am going for... Now, this is a bit of a needly one, possibly. I'm going to go for De Leon to complete 32 racing laps.
Or more.
Or more, yes. If he does more, fantastic. But I very much doubt we're going to see the car that much this weekend.
Yeah, I don't want to just bash on Team Hard, who are now in Limited Motorsport, or I don't really understand how it works.
Limited Racing, or yeah.
I see, and I really like Delight. I think A, he's a really nice kid.
Yes, yeah,
and
he is.
B, he is blooming quick.
Yeah.
I'm really worried for him. I'm worried for everybody, it seems, but I'm really, you know, he's a young kid running his own team, it looks like.
The fact on Media Day, they only had one lap, which was an installation lap.
Doesn't count.
M Sport were there fitting the hybrid system on the day.
Cosworth.
There were 8-10 mechanics in his garage, maybe, at most.
Yeah, and without trying to be funny, dressed in shorts and not looking like your
race team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm worried for him. I say it was supposed to be a two-car entry. It's clearly not. It's going to be one car entry. So that already raises concerns over funding and budgets, doesn't it? And it's just got an air of, we've seen this story before. And I am worried for it. I hope he completes every lap. I hope he gets points. And I hope he has a really good season. I really do. But like you, I have doubts and concerns and fears.
Should we cheer them up a bit? We'll get on to the fun bit now.
Final prediction. Because I've got another prediction to go.
Oh, okay. Go on then. You have yours.
Very quick and easy. WSR will outscore Bristol Street Motors this weekend.
Okay.
I'm still to be convinced.
Can I just clarify? That is
three against four.
Three against four. That's fine.
Yep. I'm still not convinced about the BSM lineup.
Okay.
Ingram aside, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
And Pearson, to be fair to him, his target will be the Jacksies. I'm still not convinced about the teammate that Ingram has being the right one to help him win the championship.
He's got Barry Plowman as his engineer this year. Obviously, they've had that merger with Dynamics.
Yeah. And I hope he's quick.
May turn the form.
I hope it does.
So, be glad to see you eat your new hat. And then the final prediction is the amount of time that it's going to take us to get out of the car park. Now, this is from when we get back to the car, getting in the car.
Start the engine. And begin the process of leaving.
And finally exit the circuit gates and get onto a main road.
Question, are we staying for the Legends race?
Yes.
Okay. I might amend mine slightly.
So, Donington, we seem to always have this issue of getting out.
That's horrendous.
And it is one of the worst tracks, considering the area that it's in around an airport and stuff like that. You'd think it'd be nice and easy.
Considering it's an MSV track which hosts multiple events throughout the year, it is appalling how difficult it is to get out of Donington Park.
Therefore, in minutes, I am going for 23.
Okay, I am going to reduce mine from 52, but only down to 45. I still think it's going to be a long wait.
Okay.
Sorry,
We might even get a 10 minutes with reaction podcast done in the time.
We might get a full review done
in the time it takes us to leave the track. So, please let us know your thoughts and predictions and feelings about this weekend, because we'd love to hear them. And if you haven't already, make sure you check out our TikTok, where we'll be uploading a video each day running up to a race weekend. Anything else to add?
You need to do yours for today.
Yes, I do.
But yes. Again, if you see us on Sunday, feel free to come say hello, have a chat about touring cars, etc. So tell us we're rubbish, tell us we're good, whatever you want to do. And I will have some stickers on me.
I was going to say, Russ will have some stickers on him, and I might even take a photo of all the people that we meet.
Well, there's a reason to say hello. But yes, so please do not feel afraid. Come and say hello. We don't bite, unless Everton are losing, which, to be fair, he's got used to this year. So.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen tonight. It probably will. But anyway, we'll see you again soon for a review on Monday or Tuesday.
Cheerio.